Okay, so today we're going to be discussing the idea of Amen, the answering of Amen to a bracha, how special it is, how important it is. But on the flip side, after we spend enough time discussing how important it is, we're going to then have to discuss sometimes when it's not the right thing to say. Although it's very important in its proper time, many times the answering of Amen is incorrect, and we're going to discuss when are those situations where it's not proper to answer Amen. In order to first understand whether or not you should or shouldn't answer Amen, we have to go to a little bit of some background information to understand what is the whole idea behind the answering of an Amen. It starts off with the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yutes. The Gemara tells us, Amar Eish Lakish Kala Oina Amen Michol Koyche. Anyone who says Amen with all his strength, which seemingly would sound like, and some Rishonim maybe even do hold it, means you scream it out loud. The way they teach the kids in camp, you scream it out loud, says the Gemara, Poyschen Lo Sharei Gan Eden. We open for him the gates of Gan Eden. So the Mashal points out over here that it seems that there are many gates to get to Gan Eden. It's not just one door and everyone goes in. There's gates and gates and gates, and you got to get through all these gates. Zog the Mashal, Poyschen Lo means all those gates are open. Not just one gate, two gates, Mamash, all the gates are open up for a person who answers Amen. Shenemar quotes a pasuk. It says, "Pischu sharm, open the gates." Vayavay goy tzadik shemer amunim, the goy tzadik who guards amunim. So I think most of us would have learned the pasuk. Shemer amunim is referring to he guards his amuna, which means he's a maimin. Those one who believes in Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he's a maimin. He has amuna. He'll get to go to Gan Eden. Zati marna atikmi shemer amunim. Don't read it the guarder of amunim. Ela sheimrim amen. Instead, you read this pasuk those who recite the amen. So you see from this Gemara that if a person says Amen, he can open up the gates of Gan Eden for him. I don't know too much about what all this means, but it definitely sounds like it's a good thing. So we'll go with it's a good thing. Zog to Gemara, my Amen. What does the word Amen mean? Amar Reb Chanina Kel Melech Neman. The word Amen is really an abbreviation for the three words of Kel Melech Neman. So Rashi says over here, when the Gemara says Bechol Koichai, so Rashi Bechol Kavanosai. It doesn't mean with screaming and yelling. Instead, it means with all your kavana. Which means when a person recites the Amen, it's not about screaming. The Mechaber writes later on, and there's two places in Shulchan Aruch that basically deal with Amen. One is in Reish Tezvav, and one's in Kuf Chavdal. Those are the two major simonim in Shulchan Aruch, which we put on, most of them, or a lot of it, is on the page over here. In Shulchan Aruch, over there, the Mechaber writes that a person is not allowed to answer Amen louder than the Mevarech. You're not allowed, if a guy makes a bracha quietly, you can't belt out an Amen. Unless, says the Mishnah Berura, by doing so, you're going to be mizaris other people. If you're loud, Amen will get other people excited about Amen, then you could. But other than that, you're really not allowed to. So Rashi says over here, what does it mean, b'chol koich? It doesn't mean scream. It means you're supposed to have all your kavanas. One of my first shurim I gave many, many years ago in Queens was, he spoke about this Gemara. And a fellow came over to me, he was so happy to hear that it doesn't mean he has to scream, because he doesn't like when people scream in shul. It gives him a headache. Everyone's screaming. So he was happy to hear that kol koichai doesn't mean scream, it means you're supposed to have kavan. Okay, so what kavan are you supposed to have when you say? So Taisvis over here quotes that since the Gemara told us that the idea of Amen is Kael Melech Neman, Zog Taisvis, what does it mean? Number 2b, Zog Taisvis, Kach Meid Al Boirai. You're testifying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Kael Melech Neman, that he's a Kael Melech and a Nem. So Taisus writes over here, number 3, another Taisus says, Tzarech laharba b'shosha omer amen. Every single time that you recite an amen, which can be many times a day, you have to keep in mind that when you're saying that word amen, you're thinking that's really an abbreviation for Kel Melech Nem. So we see that there's something special about answering amen. Now, the Gemara here doesn't say you have to answer amen. You want to get the gates of Gan Eden open, it's a good idea. I wouldn't call it a chiv. Obviously, it's a good idea. It's a worthwhile investment, but it doesn't sound like it's a chiv. There's another Gemara in Brachas, number 4. The Gemara tells us... Right. Right, right. It's hard to know what exactly you need to do. It sounds like as many as you can, it's probably good. We'll see later today, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara has a whole discussion about what's the earliest age a child can merit Olam Haba. So the Gemara has one side when he's born, when he has his milah, and the Gemara has one pshat, which is brought lahalacha by the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, once the child's old enough to answer Amen. So a little kid answers Amen, and then Nebuchi passes, and that's all he did in this world, was he answered Amen, Zog the Gemara, he's going to get to Olam Haba. So clearly, as many as we can get is definitely going to help us get to where we ultimately want to go. But then the Gemara tells us a bigger chiddush. Number 4 is the Gemara in Brachas. So the Gemara says, Daphne Gimel, V'atanya b'yoysi yoyim godol ho'ine Amen yoysi ben amavarech. It's greater, the one who answers Amen, than the one who actually makes the bracha. So all those people who answer Amen might be getting more credit, so to say, than the one who's actually making the bracha. So clearly we're seeing there's some unbelievable powers in the Amen over here. The question is, why would the Amen be greater than the Mevarech? Why is that better than the guy who actually makes the bracha? So if you skip down over here to 7b, 7b is over here, quoted from Pische Halacha. Pische Halacha is a sefer written by Rabbi Yom Forst. He wrote a sefer on brachas. So on his sefer on brachas, on a footnote, he comes to be mazbe this gemara. What's pshat? So he writes over here, Ayin b'sefer chasidim, Hatam ki amivarech ena maski el Hashem echad. So the guy who makes a brach, he only uses one of Hashem's names. V'ho'ina amen maski beishemus. But when you answer amen, you're getting two of Hashem's names. Why? Ki amen b'gematria shem havaya. B'shem aleph, Dalid. So he says that the mile of Amen is because you're getting more of a Shemus of Hashem than the Mevarech. That's one shot. He says because of Kena Rashba Chedusha Agadas Brachas and Days. Other reasons Shas Juvas Rashba Shas Juvas Radvaz and Emik Shela. And this pshat I like a lot. Why? The Emik Shela says Zokt and Itziv the pshat is why Shechayvus Habracha Ein Al Medrabanan. If a person and makes a bracha, that's only the Rabbanan. Ma'asheki Chayvus and Yis Amen Acha Mevarech Havi Asmachta. The makor of making. And this might be a smachtas of making brachas rishonis as well, but he assumes that the whole idea of a bracha, that's a derabban. That's why you say safik brachas l'kul. Masha enkein, the idea of answering amen is, we're going to see, is learned from a pasuk, kishem Hashem ekro havogoydel l'kenu. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Although it might be in a smachta, but it's on a higher level. So the mevarech is only being mikayim a derabban, while the oine might be mikayim a higher level of an asmacht. So these are some of the pshatim into why godol ha'oine amen yoisem in hambavarech. So clearly we're seeing again and again that this is a very, very important thing to answer Amen. One more Gemara that we need to mention, which is Nageya very much Lahalach as well. The Gemara says that this Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara Brachas Afmem Zai. Ein oinen loy omen chatufa. A person is not allowed to recite what's called an omen chatufa. V'loy omen kitufa. V'loy omen yisayma. Three psulim in an omen. Now tonight's shir is not how to say amen, but when not to say amen. So we're not going to focus too much on this gemara, but this gemara needs to be mentioned. Zog the gemara, a person is not allowed to answer an amen chatufa. What's an amen chatufa? So each one of these chesrainis in the gemara has a machloekis b'shainim about it. And they're all really brought aliba de hilchasa, so they're all relevant lahalach. So we'll go through Rashi's pshat, and we'll mention some of the other pshat. The gemara says, what's an amen chatufa? So Rashi learns that amen chatufa means shekainis alef b'chata v'lei b'patach. He pronounces the amen with the wrong grammar. Instead of saying omein with a kamatz, he says it like an iman. Not exactly sure why he would think like that, but he says it's supposed to be omein, he says it wrong. That's the way Rashi learns chatufa. If you look in Rishayim, there's another pshat in Rishayim that chatufa doesn't just mean he pronounces it wrong, but chatufa means something more than that, which means he's chotaf, he grabs the omein before the bracha is done. Many people that can't sit, they don't have any patience, so they know the bracha is coming out, and they'll say amen before the bracha is concluded. That's wrong. According to some Rishayim, that's what amen chatuf is. That's not the way Rashi learned the Gemara, but again, la halacha, all these Rishayim are brought down la halacha. So that's what amen chatuf. What's the next one? An amen kitufa. What's an amen kitufa, Zag Rashi? Shemechase kriyas hanun. She'ena moitzi bepeshet tehene keres. Person says the amen so quickly, you don't even hear the nun. You just say am. Guy doesn't say the whole, he can't get the whole amen out. So you just hear amen. You don't hear the nun. That's the way ketufa. Other people learn amen ketufa means that you're marech in the amen. You say amen. So you break up the word. That word's not supposed to be broken up. It's supposed to be amen. What's one word? So if you're mafsik in the letters, that's also a ketufa. And the last one, what the Gemara calls an amen yisayma. What's an amen yisayma? So Rashi learns that amen yisayma is shleishama habracha el shleishama sha'inam amen. You walk into shul, you have no idea what's going on. Everyone says amen. You say amen also. You want to be part of the crowd. You have no idea what you're answering. Amen too, that's an amen yisayma. There's another pshat brought down by the Ramon Shulchan Aruch that amen yisayma means that you answer amen after the bracha is recited. Which means the bracha is made and you wake up 3 seconds later and you want to answer amen. Which is very relevant for those people who learn during Chazar Shashatz, and which we spoke about here a few weeks ago. And therefore you're not really focused on what's going on. You hear a bracha and you wake up 7 seconds later and mizakten amen. That's an amen yisayma, which the Gemara says, I didn't photocopy, the Gemara says that for all these things, the Gemara says right over here, kol oina amen yisayma, you bon of yisaymim. Anyone who does an amen yisayma, his kids can become yisaymim. Chatufi chatvi yomov, ketufi katvi yomov. All bad things are making improper amen. So although amen is very special, and it's poitzchon shari gan eden, you gotta make sure you're saying it right, because if you're saying it's wrong, it comes back to bite you. So, according to some, if an amen yisayma means too much time elapsed, so this is a shaila that I find very relevant for a Baal Kriya. Many times a Baal Kriya who's looking at his tikkun because he didn't prepare enough or he feels he didn't prepare enough, so he hears the bracha and he answers amen before he starts reading. And that might have been a long time. Mishnah Berurah brings down how long is an amen yisayim. So he brings down it's the time longer than Teich Kedei Dibur. How long is Teich Kedei Dibur? So we know that Mr. Brum himself writes in many different places. Either it's the time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umayim. Three words or four words. How much difference does it make in seconds? Not too much. It's a few seconds. So if a person hears a bracha and three seconds elapse, that's a shayla of Amen Yisayimah. So for the Baal Kairi, the Mishnah Berurah writes that if the Kehillah is still answering Amen, meaning, let's say, for example, the guy makes his aliyah, and the shul is still answering Amen, then you piggyback off of theirs, you won't be in Amen Yisayimah. But many times, I've seen the Baal Kriya, by the time they get, it's more, I think, sometimes with the little kids that they're teaching them to lane, they know they got to say Amen before they start. So no matter where they're holding, when they open up that Sefer Torah, they start off with an Amen and they start laning. It's a real shayla of an Amen Yisayimah. It's not the right thing to do. Some Achronim want to say that possibly the Tumul, and that we're not discussing this in tonight's show at all, about answering Amen to a microphone bracha, might also be a Shayla of an Amen Yisayim or a telephone. Because since there's a delay in the amount of time between the bracha and when you actually hear it, so that might be a Shayla of Amen Yisayim. Rabbi Forrest rejects this. He doesn't think that's the reason that a microphone or a telephone should be a problem. The main reason why Achronim didn't like the microphone or the telephone, because it's not the actual koil, it's not your voice. That was a big shayla, and many achrayim about answering Amen to microphones. The Menachas Alazar has a tshuva where he was the most makel. Shem Zalman, I think, would be on the most machmer side. He was very against Amen's or Avdol. Again, the shayla comes up with making Avdol or Kriyas HaMegillah. Some bigger shuls have a big crowd, and they have an overflow crowd, so they have Megillah through a microphone. Kir Shayf is not that negate because you have other problems, but the most common is Mikra Megillah. So many Achrenim held it was. Okay, other Achrenim were not so comfortable with it. Ramosha has two tshuvas about it. In one tshuva, Ramosha is somewhat more hesitant, and the other tshuva, Ramosha is a little bit more okay with it. Ramosha has a tshuva where he talks about Havdalah. This is very negate for women or hospitals or older women that are single and their husbands passed away and they don't want to make their own havdalah. Again, there's this idea that women can't make their own havdalah. That's lechatchila. Pashtus, a lady could make her own havdalah. The Chazanish held that if you're going to drink beer for havdalah, if you use chamar medina, then the lady for sure can drink it without even any shailas. But in any case, that's the shailas. So Ramesha has a tshuva where he says if there's no other way for the woman to hear havdalah, avadi should hear over the telephone. So that's a big shaila about the microphones and the telephones. Without a shaila, this is Pashtus, Shem Zalman speaks this out. I don't think it needs to be spoken out. If you watch a video of a guy making a bracha yesterday, you don't answer Amen to that. That's not even a shayla. That happened already. We're talking about if you're watching, let's say, a live hookup. You're watching some of the Rebbe Shechassidim, they have live hookups. So everyone can watch their weddings. And the Chassidim, you should see them. They might stay up late at night to watch, to partake in the Rebbe's Chassidim. It's an interesting level of devotion. So you're watching on the screen and you hear all the Sheva brachas and all these things. So that's a shayla if you can answer Amen to those brachas. Yosef does have a tshuva on it. Yeah.
Had that big
Tehillah. Yeah.
Had the
yes, yes.
We would have a question to say Baruch Hu.
Can you answer Dvarim Shebikdushas? Yeah, he talks about it as well. Abshalom Mizam. All the, contemporary, even the Menachas Olaz was such a contemporary. He's the most makel. I think Abshalom Mizam is on the most machmer side. But Ramosh, I think, is somewhere in between in his tshuvas at least. But that's a shayla, so Abshalom Mizam held the best case scenarios. This always comes up by chasanas, right? Every single time they make the brachas with a microphone, there's always some guy in the back who says, I'm not answering Amen because the truth is no need. Okay, so don't answer Amen. Who said you need your Amen? We have 10 other people answering Amen. So Shem Zalman held, if you're in the room and you can hear it without the microphone, which means you're sitting in the first two or three rows, so then you can answer Amen without a question. But that's, again, that's a deeper shayla than for tonight's share about what do you do with microphones and telephones.
And then,
so that's what we're going to have to still see. Is it that you have to answer Amen, and therefore if you don't answer Amen, you do something wrong? We'll see how far it actually goes. Taisvis, and that Gemara that we quoted in Brachas Mem Zayin, the Gemara adds off another bracha. Zotim Evuchal HaMarich BaAmen, anyone who has lengthy Amen, Marich HaLeYom of Ushnaisa. He has long days and long years. We saw this terminology from a Gemara in Brachas earlier, when the Gemara talks about Shnai Mikra. It also says, Marich HaLeYom of Ushnaisa. So the Marsha over there explains that there's two things. A person can live a long life, and they're not enjoyable. Marich HaLeYom of Ushnaisa means they're both good. The days are good, the years are good, it's mamash and a very, very good, enjoyable life. So here the Gemara is giving us haftach, if you're marich in the yomim. However, Zaktai says, we got to be careful. Don't be marich too much. Because if you marich too much, you run into breaking up the words. So you got to figure out a way that you're not jumping the amen. You're saying it nicely, but not too slowly. You got to figure out how to balance it.
How about people, like the Mira Mura, people say, yeah. Amen.
It's wrong. The problem is that, you know, I have a friend of mine who's a social worker. He works predominantly with, you know, people that have OCD. I hate to say it, and he's definitely saying it on recording, that many hanhoggas that we have breeds this type of behavior. You have a guy who's going to say, I'm in 52 times a day, because he wants to make sure he gets it right. So you got to figure out, you know, you're not supposed to spend your whole day answering amen. You know, you can go to shtibl a whole day. You go to bar park, you'll stay in a shtibl a whole day. You won't get anything done. You'll answer amen a whole day long. That's probably not what Chazal wanted of us. They wanted of us to have normal lives. But we should say it as correctly as we can. We should try to be careful with how we do it. The Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch, over here, number 8, an important Mechaber. Mechaber says, well, person is not supposed to talk during Chazaras Hashatz. Again, even though there's a debate whether or not you're allowed to learn during Chazaras Hashatz, no one holds you allowed to talk during Chazaras Hashatz. That's kuli alma moed, it's also to talk. Zok the mechaber v'msachu choyte v'godol avoyne minisoy. If a person does talk, it's a very serious avera, and it's a very bad thing. On that, Zok the Rama ha'gov v'yilmud bonav aktanim sheyanu amen. You should teach your small children to answer amen. Because right away when a tinnik answers amen, yesh lechedik lo'olam haba. This is based on the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin had a machlokes. What's the earliest stage a child can get olam haba? And the Gemara says, according to one opinion, when he answers amen. That's why many shuls and many communities, they have movements to have the kids in shul answer amen, which is talking about a very beautiful thing. But again, be mechanech them to do it right. Don't be mechanech them to scream on top of their lungs, because that's bad chinuch. You be mechanech them to do something which the Gemara says you shouldn't do. So you have to make sure when you mechanech them, you mechanech them again. These kids have no idea what they're answering amen to. They're answering amen to the lollipop and to the ISIS. Let's be honest. They have no idea what they're doing, but that's okay. That's fine, because we're teaching them eventually to get to the point where they're supposed to understand what they're saying. Now, everything we learned till now doesn't dictate that there's any actual chiv. It sounds like it's important, it's nice, it's a dover chashiv. Is there any chiv? So if you look in 5b over here, if you look in the Ben Ish Chayim Pashas Masai, he has an interesting line over here. He writes that the Gemara says that it's very important. If you look in Zayar, you'll see there's a lot of emphasis in Zayar about the chashivas of answering Amen. If you're about to make a bracha and you know that no one's going to answer Amen, make the bracha quietly. It's better they don't hear the bracha than they hear the bracha and pass up on answering amen. That's how far it goes, Dr. Ben Ishchai. The chashivas of answering amen is if you know that no one's going to listen to you, they're not going to make an amen, or whatever the reason is, make the bracha quietly. Because you don't want to throw out a bracha that could have an amen, and they don't answer it, that's going to be very bad. So you see...
Is the converse true? If I see that people are going to answer amen, I should make my bracha loud.
That's where things get very confusing, you know. Right. So question
is,
how far do you go with this? You know, in your house, you're going to make all the kids, you know, I'm always, what do I do with my kids? Make them crazy. Every bracha I make out loud, I'm going to make them nuts. They're going to not want to make brachas at all. So there's got to be a happy medium where we right. You have to find a happy balance. Yeah, other amens are important, but, you know, other things are also important. It has to be some form of a happy balance, which I think everyone has to find on their own. The Mechaber does write a number 9 Reish Tezvav. He writes, "Avo pisha ene chay boise bracha." Even though you're not mechayiv in that bracha, I hear someone making a bracha on his tzitzis. I don't do it with his tzitzis. Chayiv la'anus achrav amen. You're actually mechayiv to answer amen. Meforish Mechaber, you're mechayiv to answer amen. The Torah understood that you're not mechayiv to answer amen. The way the Beis Yosef understood the Torah, you don't have to answer amen. If you answer amen, the Gan Eden's open and all these beautiful things, but you don't have to. However, the Shulchan Aruch learned not like that. Like the Rambam learned, no, you talk of a chiyuv. And if you don't answer amen, you're doing something wrong. Why? Zok to Mishnah Berurah number 10. Because the chesiv, it says, Kishem Hashem Ekra Avu Goydel. For Omru Chazal said the Gemara Yuma, Omru Lehem Moshe Yisrael. Kishani Mevorech Umas Kishem Hashem Yisparach. When I mention Hashem's name, Atem Hovu Goydel Elakein. You have to bring it up. How? Ba'anias amen by reciting amen. This Gemara is interesting because the Gemara in Brachas uses this to tell us you have to make Birchas HaTorah before learning Torah. So that's a question of how to learn two things from the same pasuk. This is what the Emek Shela was referring to earlier when he said that this is an Asmachta. The whole idea of a Bracha is at the Rabbana, but this is an Asmachta of a pasuk answering Amen. So could be answering Amen is Taka very, very important. So you see clearly that the Mishnah Berurah is going on the Mechaber, that's Taka Chiv. A person really does have to answer Amen. It's a very, very important thing. It's not just if I want to get Paisach Neshai. No, I have to, because if not, it will be Zilzul B'chvayit Hashem. So now we know that Amens are very important. Okay. So now we know you can't do Yisayim, you can't do Ketufa, you can't do all that. When else is there a scenario where Amen should not be recited, despite the fact that it's such an important thing? So the Mechaber writes over here, in number 11, is that there's a Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara talks about answering Amen to children. which is really what I wanted to get to in today's shir. My son came home from preschool one day, he just turned 4, and the Mor taught him brachas. I didn't teach him any brachas. I figured, let them teach him, I'll encourage. I'm not going to start teaching him. I don't know how to teach 4-year-olds, too hard for me. Let the school teach him, and I'll encourage whatever the school teaches him. So he comes home one day, he's making brachas all over. Adom ha'etz. So the question is, am I allowed to answer Omi to any of his brachas? Right? His brachas are whatever he was told. He made for the first week, he made ha'etz on everything he ate. He made ha'etz, no matter what it was. It was bread, this, that, everything was ha'etz, right? He has no idea what he's saying. He does whatever they tell him in school. So it's very nice that we want to be mechanech children to say brachas, but we're supposed to be answering amen on their brachas. This is very negay around, you know, children, grandchildren. And we're always trying to push kids to make brachas. The question is, are we necessarily doing the right thing? So the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Tezvav, V'hod ein oinam amen achar tinuv. That is, the Gemara says you don't answer amen after a child. Davke b'shosh shalom and ha-brachas lefnei rabbi. That's if you're sitting in a classroom and the Rebbe is giving you a test. What bracha do you make on this? And the kid says, Baruch Atah Hashem. You don't answer amen to that. It's not a bracha. He's just saying the word, but there's no reason to make a bracha. Because you're allowed to teach children to make brachas, right? If you're mechanech a kid, you go over with him, you say, Baruch, Ata, you say Hashem, Hashem, Mr. Bura Paskins, because you need to teach him how to make brachas. The kid's going to go his whole life thinking the bracha goes, Baruch, Ata, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, because when he was a little kid, his mother always skipped the Hashem part. That's not right. Mr. Bura says, you got to teach him. Baruch, Ata, Shem Hashem, Elokeinu, so the kid knows how to make a bracha. However, says the Mechaber, V'af b'shem b'vorchen l'vatala b'sha salim, avo b'sha shehim b'vorchen lifters atzmon, but if a child is making a bracha to exempt himself from a real chiv, he's making a bracha on his tzitzis, a bracha on his food, kevin de b'nei chinuchim, ayinim achreim. Since they're of the age of chinuch, you're supposed to answer amen to their bracha.
On
I don't say that. It says that they're making a bracha to mivarech.
Because
Zok to Mishnah Berurah, what is the lashon of the Mechaber? The bnei chinuchim, because they're of the age of chinuch. Zok to Mishnah Berurah, mashma the al bracha shemivarech alachilu kegam the kaidim shegiel chinuch. But let's say you're going to make that's a kid who's 9, 10, 11, he's ready to give the chinuch. But let's say you have a kid who's shalai give the chinuch. He's under the age, 3, 4, that's shalai give the chinuch. Zakti Mishtabur on such a child, ain't la anus, amen alav. Yitaka shouldn't answer amen to his bracha, because he has no idea what the bracha is. What's wrong with answering amen? So if you look at the Mechaber number 13, the Mechaber says, kol ha-mevarech bracha she'ein etzvicha, anyone who makes a bracha that's not necessary. I raise the noise Hashem Shemayim Lashav. He used Hashem's name for no reason. You're not allowed to answer amen. Oh, so people say, well, what's wrong with answering amen? It's wrong. You're not supposed to answer amen to an improper bracha. So if a child who's shalegi l'chinuch has no idea what he's doing when he makes his bracha, so his bracha is an improper bracha. So why are you allowed to answer amen to it? That's the question.
If he knows he's eating an apple,
okay, good. We'll get to that. That's the shayla. But the simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah would imply any child under higi l'chinuch, which is at least 6 or 7, under 6 or 7, you shouldn't answer amen to his brachas. That definitely ruins the, you know, the whole experience. Yeah.
So why should we encourage him to say the Shem Hashem in that case?
Because we have to at least try to get him used to making brachas.
So just start when he reaches the chinuch, say which is 7, 8.
Okay. That's a different question. Maybe we taka should start at a later age instead of being mechanech them at a young age. That's a fair argument I think one can make. Maybe we shouldn't start them off at such a young age. I think the idea is we want to get them. I think we're afraid if we wait till 6 or 7, that's going to be too late. They've been eating for 3 years. It's too much time in between of their chances of ever making a bracha properly when they get to 6 or 7.
Is amen reserved for brachas?
I'm going to get to that. Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that also. That's also machlokes achrayin. Let's say it's not a form of bracha. Guy says refuah shleima. You should have a good day. Do I answer amen to that? We'll see, that's a machlokes achrayim as well. So, lemaisa, if we were to stop right here, we'd say, okay, so don't answer amen to the little kid's brachas. Okay, no. Who says you have to answer amen? I would have thought, based on the Mishnah Berurah tell you, don't answer amen. A little kid, 4 or 5 years old, makes a bracha, smile, and say, good job, and give him a candy, but don't answer amen to his bracha. So, the achrayim come in different ways to defend why this is right. The first one is Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, in the Sefer Shleim Es Chaim. He comes to defend this behavior, and he writes like this. He says, Avalam tinik isra, if the kid is old enough to realize to make brachas on food, it means he has to understand, you know, all of Hilchas brachas by heart. Means he knows before I eat, I make a bracha. I think 3 and 4 year old kids know that. They might not know which bracha to make, and they might not know what order to make it, and they might not know what the words mean. But that's enough called the gil chinuch, and he can make a bracha. He knows to make brachas on food. That's sufficient to make a bracha. In the Sefer Chanoi Chlenai written by Rev Bloy, where he goes through all the various levels of chinuch, he writes, Mi u'minega oilam la'anis amin. First thing is, the minhag is we do make brachas after a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old makes a bracha. The efshir, what's the pshat? He says, the hod ein oinam amin. Why don't you make a bracha, a normal amin, mishum she'ein sham bracha? That's not a bracha. Mikom mokim yesh gam b'ani yes amin mishum chinuch. He says, but a mice over here, when you answer amen to this kid's bracha, maybe you're not answering amen al the bracha, but you're doing chinuch. You want to teach a kid that there's something called making a bracha and answering to a bracha. But that's kama achreim shein islan as amen ki im kishim v'rach v'atol. Some say the only time you're not going to answer amen if it's a bracha v'atol. It's not a bracha v'atol. This is it's not a bracha. It's nothing. It's meaningless. But since over here there's a reason to why you're doing it, Zakhtar Bloy, therefore it's mutter to do. So that's one justification of how we answer amen to little kids who make beautiful brachas, but are not really considered a bracha. However, there were many achrayim who disagreed. For example, Yakut Yosef, Rabbi Yosef's son, he writes, Ein la'anis amen achar brichas tinek pachas megil shei shanim. One should not answer amen to a bracha recited by a child under the age of 6. Afim mevarach kahagin, even if he gets the bracha right. Forget, he gets the wrong bracha. Ve'ein ha'rashay la'achim v'lanis amen. You can't be from and say, oh, I'm going to answer amen. It's not right. So he writes in parentheses, what you could do is, you say, Baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'yomen. Make say that pasuk, and while the kid's making the bracha, and then you conclude with amen. So the kid thinks you're saying amen to his bracha, really you're saying amen. We'll see, that's really an eitzah from the Or L'Tzion. But he writes, but if you have a kid who's 9 or 10 and understands, I'm making a bracha to Hashem, you do answer amen. Umisafik, let's say you don't know what the kid knows. You gotta wait till the kid's 9. You can assume by then he knows what's going on. So the Achrayim do talk about this issue. If you have a small child making brachas, the kid might be dirty. Has a dirty diaper. Didn't clean himself properly. That could be a different problem. But other than that, again, by 3 or 4, it's usually not the issue. They're usually toilet trained by the time they get to that age. But they have no idea what they're saying in the bracha. They don't know who they're making a bracha to. Therefore, according to him, it would be a problem. There is a unbelievable Aruch HaShulchan written over here, which, if you're a father of daughters, I don't know if you want to read this or you don't want to read it, but either way, the Aruch HaShulchan writes like this. Avol tinik ha-mevarich, right on the left side, he writes, Avol tinik ha-mevarich, lift her satsmai, a tinik who makes a brach on something that he has to do, umevin masha amar, and he understood what he said. So the medayt that the Aruch HaShulchan held together for a bracha is if you understood what you said. So maybe half the adults, you can't answer amen to their brachas. You have to be mevin masha amar. It's not about age. So we keep on talking about yedei al mim mevarchin. So adults know that when we make a bracha, we know we're making a bracha to Hashem. Do we always know what all the words mean? Yeah, maybe not. Depends if we're thinking about it. But he writes, v'higil l'chinuch, oidim achav amen. V'chein achat tinuk hamaf t'beis hakatsnes, oidim achav amen. V'nirli, says Aruch HaShulchan, an unbelievable chiddush. The tinoike she'enei bas chinuch, a girl who does not reach the level of chinuch, ein oidim achreha amen. You don't answer amen achet tihye bas yudbeis shon av yemechad till she turns 12. So according to Aruch HaShulchan, any girl until bas mitzvah, no amens on her brachas. No explanation. No one else seems to understand this Aruch HaShulchan. No one knows what he's talking about. They all pour in later on. Mishnah Berurah in the end of Hilchos Shabbos is mashma completely not like that. That of course there's a chiyuv of chinuch on girls as well, just like boys. So this is one of those mechudash Aruch HaShulchan that no one seems to understand. If you look back in Yakut Yosef 7:16, he writes, in Or L'Tzion, Rabbi Shaul in his tshuva, he rules similar to Rabbi Avadja. He writes, Katan hayadeli mimavorchin oinim amacha b'chayzev. Katan knows who he's making his brachas to. V'hul eroiv kishayel hu kiben sheish a kiben sheveshanim. Again, it's not a locked in number. Every kid is different, but most kids, by the time they reach 6 or 7, they understand there's a concept called Hashem. I make my brachas to him. V'em ein hakatan yadeli mimavorchin, but if the katan has no idea whose brachas are to, ein oinim abuchasa. The misopik in makat yedei mevarchim lo yana amen. Don't answer amen. The toiv shiyomer as a pasuk baruch Hashem le'olam amen v'yamen. If you know the kid's about to make a bracha, so right away say to yourself the pasuk baruch Hashem le'olam amen. Oh, the amen. So when the kid finishes the bracha, you scream out amen. The kid feels like $1 million. Then he writes at the end ve'in chiluk bechozeh ben katan ektana. There's no difference between the katan ektana. Why does he write that? Lafuki from this aruch hashulchan. Rabbi Yosef also writes lafuki this aruch hashulchan. No one seems to have a good idea of where this aruch hashulchan was coming from with this idea that you don't have to answer amen. Well, that's not a real amen, so it's okay.
Yeah, I'm saying. But
then you'd be okay if you assume there's no chiyuv to answer amen, so you could say whatever you want. Yeah.
Why are you saying Brahma Shalom amen for amen? Because
you want to get the amen at the end.
So what you're doing is basically lying to your kid.
You're fooling your kid. We'll see if Shalom is amen at another.
That's not a great. What's the problem?
That's not a great.
Yeah, you have to make sure. If he's that smart, he might be a daily mimavarchan. I don't know. In Archas Rabbeinu, you gotta be slick about it. Come on, parents, you gotta trick your kids, right? It's not Yaakov to survive his parents, right? So the Archas Rabbeinu in the Stipulus family, it was clear that the minhag was not like these achrayim. If you look in Archas Rabbeinu, number 18, he writes, "The base Mariv Rabbi in the house of the stipler, hayimaschilim levarich brichas and enimetinik begil shana v'chetzi." They really started really young with the kids, right? Avshe b'kushi yachal adad the kikabili talk. But they made sure that the few words the kid did say was brachas. And the stipe would answer amen after these brachas. So he says, not only that, he needs to give candy to the grandchildren. Begil hanal, in this age, whatever, a year or 2 year old. You tell the kid, no, make a bracha. And the stipe would answer amen. So the question is, well, what's the justification? What happened to, again, 2 years old? He really has no idea what he's doing. You know, how's the mutter? So he writes over here that he was troubled, that the run who wrote the Sefer HaChasabenu was troubled by what's the justification of the stipler. So he writes over here that he spoke to Reb Shlomo Zalman about it. And Reb Shlomo Zalman tying it like this. For Omali, Shekach Noigim, that was the minig in the Kanievsky family. Sha'af, Ketanim, B'yoyser, very, very small children. Melamdim Oyser Bracha. They would teach them to make brachas. V'zaloy mitam chinuch. It's not about chinuch. V'zaloy shaychem chinuch. El kach nogu. That's what they did. Okay. He thought, this is just, not als chinuch. This is what you want your kids to be exposed to. You want them to be exposed to, this is what we do, this is what Judaism is about. It's not als the mitzvah of chinuch. The kid has no idea what you're talking about. But just, you know, to set into the atmosphere of this is what goes on. Then he writes, but Reb Shlomo Zalman himself didn't do this. Reb Shlomo Zalman himself said, v'chach omali gisi hagoyin shlita, shuloy ona omen, mamish. He would not answer. Reb Shlomo Zalman himself would not buy into what the stipler did. He would not answer amen to these brachas. El amen migumenish. Shetishma kein amen. He'd fake it also. He'd make it sound like amen. He would like drop the nun at the end. So the kid thinks you're saying amen, you're not really saying amen. V'anu shemoyshcha v'lo mevata heite v'sanun v'oysi ken k'te l'chanech asatinak sh'yadeh sh'tarech lanas amen al baracha. Again, like we saw earlier, we want the kid to realize the concept of amen, but l'maisa you can't necessarily say something that's not proper. V'ein oyna amen mamish v'shem hadin sh'lo oyna amen l'tinak k'en m'shigye l'chanech. Omla ma'iv rebi oyna amen mamish. The stipler was not concerned. So machloik is contemporary achreinim. Between the stipler and Reb Shlomo Zalman, what do you do with the kid's bracha? Do you fake it, like Reb Shlomo Zalman, or quote the stipler? No, straight up. Answer amen loudly, proudly, or you have the eitza of the Orlet Zion that you should somehow get the pasuk of Baruch Hashem lo'ilam. Then he writes further, v'agoyin, Reb Chaim Kanevsky shlita, and Reb Chaim Kanevsky, gam ken omelik as far as gisi agoyin, sho'inim omen abrichas at tinok is kaidim shigil lechenach, and Reb Chaim Kanevsky did the same thing. He also, you would, does answer omen to small children's brachas, k'te lechanchoy she'yano omen achar bracha. Omnom, sove she'yoch lanas omen mamish. Reb Chaim Kanevsky held like his father. You can say straight up omen, not a problem. But he writes at the end, he says that there's a nafkemina. The nafkemina is, heicha she'akotin ha'mavarech ein ha'shemea. Let's say the kid makes the bracha, he's not listening to what happens after. So if the only reason why you're answering amen is to be mechanach the kid, he's not listening anymore. So if you know the kid's not going to listen to the amen, so don't make the amen. If you hold it's really a bracha that you need to answer amen, so you have to answer amen no matter what. But if your whole answer is amen, it's to be mechanach the kid, and once the kid got the candy, he's not listening to what happens afterwards, so there's no reason to answer amen the fizah, because it's not a real bracha. That's what he wants that time. So that's one major area where amens are questionable for small children. Another major area where amens are questionable is if a person is in the middle of learning. Let's say you're learning in a shul where there's a davening taking place after. You learn in a shul and they're davening, you davened already. Do you have to stop every single time for all the chazaras hashatzes and all of that? So the answer is no, pashas, you don't have to. You're not mechoyiv. Can you? You could. But if Shlomo Zalman and other achreinim held, you're not mechoyiv to stop learning all the time to answer all the amens or the yehesh merabos. You do have to stop for kedusha and for maybe moedim derabbanan, but you don't have to stop for amens while you're in the middle of learning. So if you're two people are sitting and learning together and someone makes a beautiful bracha out loud, you are not mechoyiv. Nor would you be considered breaching what we learned earlier, not answering amen if it's going to disturb your learning. If you guys are battling anyways, if you're schmoozing, so I might as well answer amen. But if you're in the middle of a heated debate, you're in the middle of learning, they say that if Shlomo Zalman used to walk the streets of Yerushalayim, he wouldn't stop for whatever was going on. If there was a shtibel davening, yeah, amen, nothing. He was talking and learning, he was thinking and learning, that was it. So if you're in the middle of learning, you don't stop for anything. Kedusha is more important. For the amen yeshmei rabba is the same thing that Shlomo Zalman held. Amen yeshmei rabba is the same din as the amen, which means you're not mechoyif to stop if you're in the middle of learning. Yeah. Right. So then we saw the mechaber that said you taka have a chiv to answer amen, and if you don't answer amen, it's very bad. So then there are certain scenarios where it's not so bad. Now, till now, we keep on talking about what we call the structured bracha. What happens is not what's called a structured bracha. It's not, you know, a misha beirach and shul. Is there anything wrong with that? Not answering amen to the misha beirach and shul. So the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, Issa b'medrash. He's quoting a Magen Avram who says, "Kishashama she'echa mespal dover." No mention of Hashem at all. You should be matzliach. Have a good day. You know, everything should be good. Zog the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Magen Avraham, chayiv lanas amen. You actually have to answer amen to that also. That's how we answer our amen to the rachamans and benching, even though there's no Hashem. Zog the Magen Avraham, you still have to answer. There's a Nitziv has a different opinion. The Nitziv holds you're not mechuyev, you don't have to. It's a good thing to do, but you're not mechuyev. And Mr. Bruce seems to say nothing. Mr. Bruce seems to say chiyev. If a guy goes over to you and says, you know, you should be maslich today, you should answer amen. Your ma'am is mechuyev to answer amen. If you look over in the Aruch HaShulchan, the number 20, the Aruch HaShulchan writes at the end of the long piece where he talks about the chashivas of answering Amen. He tells a story that's brought down in the Levush about a certain Talmud who didn't answer Amen, and his Rebbe got really mad at him and Mamish didn't want to talk to him because he didn't answer Amen to a bracha. And he writes at the end, Ulevadze, Gam kishishemeh shayisi mishabeich l'echod, nochun anas Amen, ubeze mekayim mitzvah v'haft l'reach l'kamoich. If you answer mishabeich l'cholim, people don't have that's a good time to schmooze. You know, ben gavur gavur. For some reason, people think you're allowed to talk. Okay, whatever. If that's so simple, that's a shiloh. But if you don't answer amen, it's a breach of the hafta reacha kamoicha. Someone needs a mishabech, and you answer amen. Not only you be mekayim the din of answering amen, you talk to Hashoch and you be mekayim the din of a hafta reacha kamoicha. So according to the Mishnah, if someone gives you a bracha, you should have a good day, you should have nachas from the kids, or any of these things, a person should answer amen. If Shem Zalman held, and you go to a Beis Oval and you say amoki minachim, the Oval answers amen. That's Shem Zalman's opinion. Rav Moshe held not like that. Rav Moshe held that the Oval doesn't answer Amen. But that's Machloikis Achrein. But if Shem Zalman held that if a person goes over to an Oval and he says, Amoki Menachem, you'll see if you go to a Beis Oval, you see different things. The Oval's not always sure what to do. I don't blame him. It's Machloikis Achrein. I'm not sure what to do either. If Shem Zalman held, it's like any other bracha you give a person, you have to answer Amen. Rav Moshe held that by answering Amen, it makes it look like you're agreeing to the whole idea of the Avelos. You're not supposed to, you know, it's more of a depressing experience. It's not like, you know, yeah, geschmack. So therefore, Rav Moshe held not to answer Amen. Okay, so that's Tamazei Shaila about people who give you brachas. Are you supposed to answer Amen or not? The Shaila that's most Negeya is the Amen at the end of the Pesukah of Shachris, Brichas Kriyashma right before Shemana Esrei. I think that's the most controversial Amen that's out there. Everyone's always torn. What do you do with that Amen right at Gaal Yisrael? At Baruch Atah Hashem Gaal Yisrael, now what happens? This is where things get interesting. So if you look at the Mechaber in 21, the Mechaber writes, "Ein oino amen acher gal Yisrael." We don't answer amen after gal Yisrael. Mishum davi hefsek. That's considered an interruption because you're being mafsek, and therefore a person is not allowed to answer amen. That's what the Mechaber writes. What? Yeah. Zokt Ramah v'yeshayimim da'inam amen. No, we do answer amen. V'chein noigim la'anuis acher hashlech tzim. Zokt Ramah. That's the minhag. The minhag today is that you do answer such an amen. So writes the Ramah.
So that's only. If you're down, if you're down, but you happen to be early, let's say you were...
L'chaira, one would then. One correct. So the way we have it is the Machlokes Mechab and Ramah. Okay, good. Machlokes Mechab and Ramah. So we generally would follow the Ramah, and therefore we should be answering Amen to Gal Yisrael. Mr. Brewer says that because it's Machlokes Achrein, we try to circumvent the whole Shaila. How do we circumvent the Shaila? Dr. Mr. Brewer, number 22. I got a better idea. If you want to get around all shitas, what do? What you should do is you should time your davening that you're saying Gal Yisrael at the exact same time he's saying Gal Yisrael. In such a case, you're not allowed to answer Amen. So you get around the problem. You should start Shemana Esrei a second before he says Gal Yisrael. You're ready in Shemana Esrei. You're not going to answer Gal Yisrael. What do you do with the fact that then you're not starting Imat Tzibur? We know one of the milos of Shemana Esrei is that you do it together, start together. So that's the Mishnah Berurah. Dehainu ha-pasuk Hashem svasai tivdach. Debezeh ha-ma'at vade lekek peida de nikka klal haktumusa. He thinks that little second of going ahead, that's not a problem. So you'll say your pasuk Hashem svasai, then he'll finish Gal Yisrael, and then everyone will start together. So Mishnah Berurah gives you two ways how to get around the problem. What do most shuls do? Yeah?
So the mashmas of both of them, though, is that the correct way is for the chazan to say the bracha out
loud. Exactly. That's what I want to get to right now. So from this Mishnah Berurah, you see clearly that he didn't suggest, well, just let the shat say it quietly, which is what many shuls do today. So many achreinim had a very big campaign about this idea of saying Gal Yisrael quietly is incorrect. Because if it's such a genius idea, why didn't the Mishnah Berurah suggest it? Seems like it's such a great way. The Mishnah Berurah clearly was trying to figure out a way to get around the issue of answering Amen. And he comes up with this idea, that idea. Why? It's a simple idea. Let the shatz not say the bracha out loud. So they want to bring a riot that it's not correct. So one of those who led the campaign against this, stopping this behavior was Reb Henkin. Reb Henkin was adamantly against this minhag that started, that the shatz just says the bracha quietly. And he writes in a couple of places. He writes over here, Alpi number 23. This I found in Gvuras Elio. He has another piece in Edus Yisrael. He writes, Alpi Gemara Tzarech Chazan Loim Kol Anusa Shabichas Kriyashma Shachus or Arvus Bekolram. Based on the Gemara, the Chazan really has to say all the Bichas Kriyashma out loud. Aval Hashkenazim Mekilim Bazev Oimim Rak Mikzas Habracha Bekolram. They say a part of the bracha. Vayikra Haschal Vasoif, but the ikra is the beginning of the bracha and the end of the bracha. V'ashat ha'oimet belachash b'chaz Gal Yisrael, says Reb Henkin, if the shat says Gal Yisrael quietly, who neged ha'gemara? He's going against the gemara. Alkei mitzvah letakin lahaschel b'kol rom b'chaz yitzar. Every Baal Tefillah has to know that when he starts off shachris yitzar, he has to say this out loud. Ulesayim Gal Yisrael b'kol rom, and he must also finish off Gal Yisrael in a loud voice. That was the opinion of Reb Henkin. That was the opinion of Reb Shammai Zalman Orbach. That was the opinion of Reb Shmuel Vosner. They were very, very against this minog that many communities have, that they say Gal Yisrael quietly. You go to most shuls today, that's what they do. They say Gal Yisrael quietly. I know some places where the mamash have a little sticker by the omid where they say our minog is to say Gal Yisrael out loud. You're not allowed to say Gal Yisrael quietly. That's not our minog over here. But there is some people, some very chashuv people to be samech on. For example, if you're looking to say for Yisaydi Yeshurin is written by Rabbi Felder Sr. We spoke about Rabbi Felder last week, that was the son. His father was a rabbi in Toronto for many years, wrote a sefer called Yisaydi Yeshurin. And Yisaydi Yeshurin, he found a riot to this minute. And he writes like this. We don't answer Amen because it's a shayla. V'shitzarech l'smech gulat fil. Ulam, das ramash, yochayim l'aris Amen. The noigin shehashat oyes oimer belachisha. The minig is the shat says it quietly. B'chdeish lo yitzarech lanas amin. Yitzchok Turnow. Rabbi Yitzchok Turnow was one of the early miyastei minhagi Ashkenaz. So if the minna came from Yitzchok Turnow, that's a reliable source. That wasn't made up by some rabbi in the mid 1800s. So that's a good source. So zogt Rabbi Chaim Griblat in the Tshuva in Rivei Sefarim 25. He says, oh, v'imkein hu minig yoshon. If it came from a Yitzchok Turnow, it's not a new minog, it's an old minog. Then you have who to rely on when you say Gal Yisrael quietly. Don't get upset that those people who say it quietly. He says an interesting pshat. Why do you think the shat says it quietly? So we think the reason is because you have a suffix bracha to the mechab and the ramah in order to get around it, so you make it quietly, so you don't answer amen. Because an interesting pshat. It creates a craziness. Ben ulu tefila shalolu yano amen v'alol yimchuvish. It becomes a free for all. What's going to happen? The shatzka is going to come to the end of the brach. He doesn't know what to do. If he says it out loud, people are going to shush him. He says it quietly, people are going to hear. If he doesn't say it, people are going to yell. He doesn't know what to do. So you know what? Say it quietly. This way, no one does anything. An interesting idea in the psychology of people. In order to ensure that no fights break out in shul, you say it quietly. But I'm not sure why it doesn't break its own. Why don't someone say, hey, no, why are you not saying it out loud? But that's his justification for this minute. So he writes, Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt writes, that although many people were adamantly against the answering of the Salman, he writes, but there are those people that said it's okay. And he quotes over from the Chassan Sofer, who writes over Sharat Filo, Akriyas HaTorah, Shekosav, Shehanochu in the Sain Balachash. It's proper to say it quietly. Vayim Beleket HaKemach HaChodosh, Ube'eish Al Avram, the Bechacha also writes, Kosav Befeirish L'Sain Brichas Gal Yisrael B'Shachris Balachash. The Yitaka should say it quietly in Shachris. So I think you go to shul and you got to find out what's the minhag of that shul. Some shul don't have a minhag, so then I guess you could do whatever you feel more comfortable. I know when I was in yeshiva in Bayas and Sharatar, they have Makbid Gomer. You have to say Gal Yisrael out loud based on this Reb Henkin. Makbid Gomer, you have to say Gal Yisrael out loud. If I'm not mistaken, I think Yekish minhag is not like that. I think the Yekis Bedafka say it quietly. I think that's Yekish minhag. They called minhag Berlin was to Dafka say it quietly. So okay, you have to figure out what's right or what's wrong. But I quote at the end of here, number 27, from the Sefer Isha Yisrael, where he quotes from Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky writes, "Kosav li shel asayin balachash hu minag yofa." It's a good minag. Now, I don't really know what to tell you to do. You know, it's not easy. Some people say it's right, and some people say it's the worst thing in the world. They quote B'Shem Rav Moshe, that supposedly Rav Moshe said when he was younger in Europe, that's what they used to do. They used to say it balachash. But Henke was adamantly against it, and in many shuls this becomes a shayla. So although answering Amen is extremely a choshev experience, as we mentioned in the beginning of the shir, it's important, and it's poiskel and shayla ganed, and you have to know when it's right and when it's wrong. And this might be an example of where reciting Amen might be wrong. Might not be the right thing to do is to answer Amen in such
when
a case.
Should we be
doctors?
Does that mean you say
Amen? No, not necessarily. No. That doesn't affect the Shaila. Doesn't affect the Shaila. The answering Amen.
You should say it out loud. Whether or not you say Amen is another.
Right. Meaning answering Amen is because that's the job of the Baal Tefillah.
No, it's true. People
don't
know.
Yeah, in so that's what the minhag was. What?
But it's not really you say loud.
No, it's irrelevant. The machlokes mechamer Ramah is going to be there no matter what.
Yeah.
Just the question is, there are those who say, in order just not to deal with the whole shayla, let's just say it quietly. Reb Henkin and others say, well, that's not right. You can't do one thing to save something else. So you'll say it out loud, and you'll have to do whatever you have to do. Now, there are those people who say the minhag is like to Ramah. What happened to Ramah and Shulchan Aruch? He's good for everything else, so let's use him here also. Okay? For whatever reason why this did not become the minhag ha'olam, the Aruch HaShulchan talks about why this Ramah is not common custom. But the Mishnah Berurah gave us two eitzes, and that's one of the rights they bring. Why did the Mishnah Berurah come up with all these eitzes and not give the eitzes of quiet? It must be that's not a viable option. So Aruch HaMaisa, although answering Amen is very important, there are some scenarios where answering Amen might be incorrect. You got to make sure when answering Amen and getting all the schar and all the kavon and all the ideas, make sure it's a bracha you're supposed to be answering Amen on. The big shah is always with, you know, let's say for example, someone's making a shahakal on a cup of chalv stam milk. As far as you're concerned, chalv stam milk is mamish treif. So the halach is you're not allowed to make a bracha on something which is treif. If a guy goes to eat a cheeseburger, from a guy eats a cheeseburger, makes a bracha on it. So that's not a bracha. Right? You don't answer Amen. You don't answer Amen to that bracha. So what if you do? What happens in a case where this guy's making a bracha, beautiful bracha, because for him it's mutter. But for me, as far as I'm concerned, this is treif gomer. Right? He's eating mamish treif. He's doing the rest of eri. Eating chalv stam. The worst of eri you can do. What do I do now? So that's a shayla in the paiskim. What happens if you hold one way? Let's say, for example, there's a questionable kashrus. You hold that it's no good. And he holds it is good. And there's people that hold it's okay. That's a different shayla. As a separate show, let's say a guy make brachas. They tell you, you know, they make a bracha for you, or they make a bracha with Sheamus Hashem. Are you allowed to answer Amen to that? That I decided not to get into tonight. That's a bigger show, because Ramesh says tshuva is a reform Jews. It gets very complicated. What happened?
The president of Israel.
He made a bracha. So the shayla is, it might depend on what religion he is. If he's a Christian, if he's a Muslim, the old shayla we always talk about, are they believing God? When they say God, do they think God our God, or do they think their own God? Ramesh has a tshuva where he talks about Reform Jews. Reform Jews, very negeh. Some guy walks off the street into shul, he tells you he has yard sites, so we give him an aliyah, whether or not we should or shouldn't, and he makes brachas. Are we allowed to answer Amit's brachas? That's already a more complex shayla. The Ber Halacha Gratis says that there's some poiskim to be saimacha, meaning if let's say this guy's making a brach on something, that some poiskim hold it's a right bracha, then you could answer Amit. Even though you don't hold like that, but as long as there's a shita out there that says, a reliable shita, that says this bracha is a right bracha, you may answer Amen on his bracha, even though you yourself would never make such a bracha, you could still answer Amen to his bracha. So that's right, exactly. That's the idea.